Another domino falls in the Suns offseason, as predicted on this podcast yesterday, as the Suns seem to leak that they may have some plans to keep DeAndre Ayton. What does it all mean? I will tell you on today's Locked On Suns.
You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Brendan Kleen, a credentialed media member covering the Suns for the past five seasons and a writer at Suns.com and Dime Magazine. Thank you for making Locked On Suns your first listen today and every day. News is not slowing down, neither are we. If you're finding us on your favorite podcast platform, go ahead and hit follow, hit subscribe. Make sure you do not miss us in your feed every single day. And if you're finding us on YouTube, that's the best way to support the show, so a big thank you to you as well. Hit subscribe down below and drop a comment letting me know if you buy the idea that the Suns would actually trade Cam Johnson to get out of tax trouble. I can't believe it. I'll tell you why. A reminder as well, though, guys, to go ahead and follow the show at LockedOnPHX Suns. Follow me at BrendanKleen14. We will be online a lot this week. All of us, you included, I'm sure. So that's the best way to continue to keep up outside of just show hours. But let's dive in here, everybody. So Jonathan Givony, he is at Draft Express on Twitter. If you've ever wondered his name, that is who he is. He's on, he's a analyst for the NBA, covers the NBA draft for ESPN, and reported this morning in his mock draft, tucked very strangely into a little blurb about the New Orleans Pelicans that, quote, "The Phoenix Suns are said to be one of the teams potentially looking at trade scenarios here," meaning the eighth pick where New Orleans is, "possibly including a player like Cam Johnson in order to free up salary cap flexibility to keep DeAndre Ayton." Now, if you follow me on Twitter, which I don't always like to give my thoughts out on Twitter because I like prefer to do it here, but I was just too fired up to ignore it today, and you will know what I thought if you saw it already, but I'm going to explain myself a little bit better here. Basically, the bottom line to why this report does not make much sense at all is just like when we were talking about Mikal Bridges and DeAndre Ayton's extensions last summer, those, if when Mikal signed his contract extension, that's only going to be kicking in now this year, this upcoming season. Last year, he still made the amount that he was locked into when he was drafted. So this summer, as we talk about a Cam Johnson extension, it doesn't apply to this upcoming season. Okay, so Cam Johnson's extension would kick in the 2023-24 season. All right, so if you're following me here, DeAndre Ayton is a free agent outright starting July 1st. If the Suns keep him, if the Suns match an offer, if the Suns sign and trade him, he's going to be 4 or 5 years starting now. His salary, $30.5 million as a starting point, if he does get that max, would apply this year. Cam Johnson would be at the $5.8 million that he was locked into when he became the number 11 overall pick in 2019, and his extension, if he were to sign one, would not kick in until next season. So let's walk through that a little bit more. A four-year max, if we're fast-forwarding to next season, would pay Ayton $32.3 million in 23-24, which is when Johnson's extension would kick in. Let's say that Cam gets 4 years, $80 million. That's just a ballpark. Talked about this yesterday with Matt Moore of the Action Network. We agreed it's going to be somewhere below between the Joe Harris 4 years, $75 million, and the Mikal Bridges deal, because you probably are not going to give him more than you gave Bridges, which was 4 years and $90 million. So let's just say 4 years, $80 million for Cam Johnson kicks in next season. You have to remember, next year, Cameron Payne is non-guaranteed, and Chris Paul is partially guaranteed. Basically, half of Chris Paul's salary is guaranteed. So if they were to cut Payne, keep everybody else, and then keep Chris Paul, they would be $5.4 million under the tax. So that's with Ayton, with Cam Johnson, Booker, Bridges, Paul, and Shamet. Okay, that's all that they currently have on the books for that season, because Crowder and Šarić leave their contracts behind that year. If they were to cut Chris Paul and only half of that salary would be on the books, I know this sounds very nitty-gritty, guys, but it's part of understanding what's so ridiculous. I'll get into the leverage stuff and the war of words and sort of the rumor mill part of all of this in the next segment, but just keep following me here. They cut Chris Paul, had just the $15 million on the books for his contract. They would end up $20.4 million under the tax, and that would be Ayton, Johnson, Bridges, Booker, and Shamet. So no point guard, no depth, whatever. Those numbers leave them fairly close to, if they kept Chris Paul and the rest of that core and Shamet, they would be pretty hard-pressed to get away from the tax. If they cut Chris Paul, maybe you get there, but it's going to be a pretty thin roster. You're going to get maybe one mid-level guy and then a bunch of minimum deals, and even then, you're pushing it a little bit. That doesn't include a first-round pick who makes more than the minimum and all that stuff. So I'm not saying that a Cam Johnson contract extension does not create tax implications into the future. But another thing, the Suns could also trade Chris Paul or Landry Shamet in particular between now and 23-24. So between right now and the start of the next season in 2023, they could trade either one of those guys and get a little bit more relief. But all of that ignores what makes this report so ridiculous, which is the Suns are not going, nothing that the Suns do with Cam Johnson this summer is going to have any impact on their tax bill this upcoming season, which is the season where Cameron Payne is fully guaranteed still. Chris Paul is fully guaranteed still, although his contract does dip a little bit to 28 or so million. And you still have Šarić, you still have Crowder, and you still have Shamet on your books. Nothing regarding a Cam Johnson extension affects that whatsoever. This upcoming season was always going to be the one where the Suns were most likely to pay the luxury tax, especially if they keep DeAndre Ayton, and potentially even if they don't keep DeAndre Ayton, depending on what they do around the edges. This was a poor attempt to create some leverage, it seems like. It was a poor attempt to obfuscate their intentions around DeAndre Ayton. Nothing has made it seem like the Suns want to keep Ayton since basically the fourth quarter of Game 7 when him and Monty were going at it. And it's just honestly funny that this was supposed to convince us otherwise, because that simple math I just walked you guys through shows they have some options in the future to get flexibility. They are more than likely going to have to pay the tax this year, no matter what happens with Cam Johnson. And that's not even getting into the fact that Cam Johnson is a beloved player here and all the rest. I will finish out some reminders about Cam Johnson in the next segment because I just want to reiterate some of this stuff. But it's time to talk about the leverage battle here, the behind-the-scenes stuff, the reason this got out in the first place. All of this is always purposeful, and so I want to take a little trip behind the scenes first. Today's show is brought to you by Bet Online, which has you covered all year long for all sports. The latest props, odds, and lines can be found at Bet Online, in addition to news, league reviews, analysis, podcasts even, as well as live betting, scores for every sport, and even esports odds. Bet Online remains the best spot, no matter what sport you love, no matter what you love to bet on, no matter how experienced you are. They are your one-stop shop to place informed bets and have fun doing it. Regular season wins. The Lakers, of course. Who else would they have regular season wins on? The one I'm more interested in than anything else, though, is the first overall pick situation. So I actually placed a bet on Paolo Banchero at about plus 400, I want to say like a month ago, because it felt like Paolo was the guy that a lot of draft analysts seemed to like a whole lot, but for whatever reason was not getting talked about as a first overall pick type. Now you have seen Banchero go from plus 1,000 to, in some cases, as well, including BetOnline, the top, the second best odds to go first overall behind Jabari Smith Jr. So keep your eyes peeled there. What's funny is Holmgren is third best odds to go first, but he has the best odds to go second. So people seem to have no idea what's going on with Paolo. He has the best odds to go third, which makes some sense, but you just got to keep your eye on this stuff. BetOnline has the top five picks with tons of players involved here. The draft is fun to bet on. I know it feels very random, it feels very crazy, but if you just try to pay attention, you can sometimes land a goldmine because the odds also show how little anybody knows. Head to the website today, guys. That's betonline.net or use your mobile device to learn more about the latest trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Continuing on here with this Jonathan Givony report in a mock draft at ESPN, I want to talk about what comes next in the leverage battle here, the war of words, so to speak. So right now, with this having come out, I don't know how much teams will necessarily buy it because they have cap people who understand the machinations behind the scenes, but, you know, I do think one smart part of framing things this way is that the Suns know, and I don't know who this fully came from. It feels like it came from somebody related to the Suns, and I'll get into some of the Cam Johnson reasons for why I think that too. I would assume that it came from someone closer to the Suns side of things, and it is smart to link it to the tax because that's the perception that's out there. People think the Suns won't pay the tax, and so to kind of prey on that a little bit and make people think, yeah, they're really prioritizing the cap flexibility. I've told you guys how I feel about that whole thing in general. I'm not even sure who's making the decision on whether to pay the tax right now. I don't know who's calling the shots on any of that. And I frankly, I'm not convinced they wouldn't go into the tax, even if it was Sarver and there was no investigation. I think they still might pay it. So I don't fully believe that, but I get where the report would come from, and it's smart to frame it that way. But the Suns have leaked now. They've, in my opinion, it's coming from that side of things. They have leaked some evidence that they want to keep DeAndre Ayton, okay? That's just the basic checkbox that they've now moved on to. The next step, to me, on if I'm another team, or I'm the agent of maybe a player who might be dealt for DeAndre Ayton, if I'm John Collins' agent, if I'm Jeremy Grant's agent, I might feel like if I'm one of those people or just an executive with a team that wants him, that I'm going to come out of the woodwork and sort of finally be the team to stake a claim to having real interest in Ayton. And this is something I've been talking about for the past couple weeks for sure now is we are getting close to free agency. We're getting close to the draft. Christian Wood has already been traded. We're hearing rumors everywhere. And we have still not heard of one team who is in love with DeAndre Ayton, which, as I talked about with Matt Moore yesterday even, is a pretty big factor in a sign-and-trade for him. You would think a team that would want to make a trade like that not only give up something for him, but also keep him, get him onto their team for 4 years at a high level. Like, you have to want him, right? And it seems like there's just this expectation that he's going to get a max, but we just have not heard that. So I think you could start to hear some more concrete linkages to teams because that starts to put them in the driver's seat. The Suns have played their card, right? We don't need to trade him, right? That's what they're saying here. It's not just, oh, we might keep him. Oh, we're worried about the tax, blah, blah, blah. What that says is we might keep him. It's telling teams that want him, you're going to have to come get him, okay? So if I'm the team on the other side and I tell a reporter, hey, we're interested, we want him. Yes, that sort of plays your hand a little bit, but we're getting closer to, you know, crunch time here, and I think that makes some sense because what that does is if I'm the Pistons and I go tell Jake Fisher, hey, we are going to make a run at Ayton, for sure, and Fisher writes that on Wednesday morning and it comes out. What that does is it allows the Pistons to get a jump. They are the one now saying, we want him. And that shows the Suns how serious they might be. That shows other teams that they're going to have to up their offers. They're going to have to get more aggressive. I think that's what we could see. to take it one step further, then if I'm the Suns as a response to that, just to play this all out, because it happens quickly, it happens behind the scenes, we might not even hear about everything, but I'm just gaming it out a little bit. The Suns then have a few options. One, they could leak out or, you know, make moves to show that they have an offer on the table trade-wise, sign-in trade-wise, that includes an all-star or something like that. They could put it out there that, hey, we have, you know, a max-type player who we could get back. And that could be fudging it. I don't know if they have an all-star. I don't know who that would be. I mean, maybe people would think, okay, it's Pascal Siakam. I don't think that's happening. Maybe you think, oh, it's, I don't know. They don't have one is part of the thing. But Jeremy Grant was close. John Collins has been, I guess, a touch below that tier. But you could see them saying that because that says, hey, we already have a trade on the table. Come make us a better offer. And this is all, none of this is supposed to be happening, just for the record, but whatever. Tampering happens, none of us care, it's fine. They could also say that they have something like they could put out there, hey, whatever this Rudy Gobert thing is, because I think we'll start to hear some more concrete packages there. I mean, you know, the Gobert thing, if it is to Chicago, would almost have to include a third team unless the Jazz just really like Nikola Vucevic. So maybe you say, hey, whatever the Jazz are going to get for Gobert, we actually have a better offer. And that says, ooh, wow, you know, Ayton's market's better. That just drives up the market. It just falsifies this interest in him that may or may not be there, but it drives up what the Suns might be able to get in that trade. The last thing they could try to say is if they don't like what's out there, they could just double down on claiming to want to keep Ayton. You know, they could just say, yeah, we're still interested. We're you know, maybe they let the Cam Johnson stuff roll over and die because it's silly, but maybe they send, you know, they say, you know, Suns are, you hear a report like the Suns are increasingly likely to explore pathways to keep Ayton, especially if we don't hear something about a team actually having interest in signing him to a max. If that step doesn't ever come, then we could just see the Suns really double down and say, Suns growing increasingly confident they can keep Ayton for less than the max. And that tells teams, hey, we're going to just go ahead and get him. And you got to come. And that could drive up the market as well. I don't know what will happen, but I think that's the sort of structure of where this stuff might head from here. A couple of reminders about Cam Johnson here too, because he's the other part of this. I don't want to, I spent some time on the cap. We've talked about the, you know, the leverage game, but in terms of Cam specifically, I just want to kind of run through again for people how unlikely it is that the Suns really explore trading him, period, here. Unless it's for an absolute superstar. If Kevin Durant and all of our magical dreams and hopes come true, then sure, you probably go ahead and part ways with Cam Johnson. But otherwise, I don't think this is going to happen. Here's why. The Suns went out of their way to draft him back in 2019. We all remember. It was a reach. It was a reach. We don't have to play revisionist history. It turned out beautifully, but it was a reach. I think mostly because of the medical red flags. I don't think any of us should ever try to pretend like we know better in terms of talent. When guys, you know, he was supposed to go in the mid to late teens, he went 11. That's not that big of a stretch. But the medical red flags were real. The Suns did it anyway, and they were rewarded. He's gotten healthy. He's developed at a great level for the Suns. He's an already in his prime player, which I think gets lost sometimes because he is older for somebody coming off their rookie contract. And he's a key part of the culture because of all that stuff. The other part of this, though, that I want to reiterate here, because again, it doesn't get talked about enough. I'm not even sure if the average Suns fan or even like national reporter knows this. Cam Johnson, as of last fall, basically between the Olympics and the start of the next season in October, I think it was around late September, Cam Johnson fired or parted ways with his old agent, who was a very small agency, only had a few clients, very much lucked into getting the number 11 overall pick on their books. He parted ways with that guy, Seth Cohen, and now is represented by Melvin Booker, who, if that name doesn't tell you already, it's Devin Booker's dad. Devin Booker's dad has recently become an agent, and he is part of the group that manages Cam Johnson. So I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm not saying if you're involved in this business, you don't understand that things can happen. I don't think Devin Booker's dad only became Cam Johnson's agent because he thought he would be a son for the rest of his life. But you don't see that happen, and then the very next year, a player gets traded who's represented by your best player's father just to clear tax space. I don't think that's exactly the message that would be a smart one to send if I'm the Suns. So my last note there, I just don't see this particular rumor as holding much weight, but I think the behind the scenes, under the radar, below the surface types of things that this leak speaks to matter far more. We'll see where it goes from here. I want to cover one more report that came out here on Tuesday before we go for the day. Eric Gordon. Yes, you've heard that right. The player that we talked about all regular season who the Suns passed on at the deadline, reportedly available again and has interest from the Suns, according to one national reporter. We'll get to that in a second. First, though, guys, today's show brought to you as well by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. And I don't even know. I have to check. They have released a delicious new bar, which is Mud Pie. And I'm trying to look to see if they're even... I'm not sure. It looks like they are still available, but I've been getting emails because I'm on their mailing list saying that they're going quickly. They don't lie about this stuff. This is not just something to get you to go check it out. This is... They just release a batch at a time, and if you miss out, you miss out. But Mud Pie is rich whipped cream and chocolate mousse smothered in 100% real chocolate and topped with cookies and crumble. But don't worry, it's not packed with sugar. It is 16 grams of protein, only 150 calories, and only 8 grams of sugar. It's like your mother baked the most deliciously creamy chocolate mud pie and wrapped it up just for you and injected a little bit of protein to get you on the right track. It's a snack between meals. It's a morning power-up. It's a post-workout snack. Whatever you need, Built Bar is packed with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides a ton of health benefits. So it can be that snack or it can be something part of your workout routine. Go to Built.com, check it out. Use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Let's hit this Eric Gordon report as well today. So this was on NBA Today or maybe just SportsCenter. I don't know exactly. Brian Windhorst went on TV on ESPN, reported that after trading Christian Wood, the Houston Rockets are continuing to make moves. And the next guy, actually, John Wall also picked up his option today. So they're looking for trades there. But the more likely one is Eric Gordon. The Sixers are also reportedly interested. They have Danny Green, who's injured, who they could try to use the salary of to move and get a player who can actually contribute while he recovers. They have the 23rd pick in this draft, which the Suns don't have. It doesn't surprise me that Eric Gordon would be available. I'll get into the specifics of him in a minute, but the package from a Suns perspective, I think at the deadline, the price tag was allegedly, reportedly, a first-round pick. But at this point, he's on an expiring contract because the final year of his deal, 23-24, is non-guaranteed. So really, this upcoming season is about $19 million, and it is the last real year on his contract. So he's expiring. He's 33 going on 34. I just don't see that as a player who gets the Rockets a first-round pick. We just saw Christian Wood, who is in his prime, who is a more valuable type of player in terms of being a bigger guy who can create his own shot and shoot. That tends to be more valuable in the NBA. That player just got he's also expiring, and I believe he makes less money than Eric Gordon. Wood got the 27th pick or 26th pick, whatever it was. I don't see that Gordon would get a first round pick back if I'm Houston. I think that they couldn't find one at the deadline even. And that's why they didn't deal him. So the idea that they're going to get one now seems a little bit silly, even though I've seen Suns fans worried, like, is this going to mean they trade their 2023 pick? I don't think so. And it wouldn't be smart to do it. So here's what I think the package would be. Could you do Aaron Holiday and Landry Shamet as the salary? Pretty young, good players. Maybe some people feel like that's too much, but I don't think Holiday's in the Suns' plans, and Shamet just didn't contribute as much as we thought. So I don't think those two players they're young, I guess, you know, that they have that going for them, but I just don't see them being, you know, big contributors down the line for the Suns, so they're not really giving up a big part of their depth chart, so to speak. And then maybe like two top 40 protected second round picks, top 35 protected second round picks in the future. That way, if you're really bad out of nowhere, if the Suns just fall off a cliff and their second round pick is like 32, which is basically a first rounder, then they don't have to give it up. Maybe something like that. Two protected second round picks. Maybe they're just unprotected. It's a second round pick. It doesn't really matter. And then Aaron Holiday and Landry Shamet. Could that get it done if you're the Rockets? Maybe there's a better prospect out there. Maybe they can get a player who's a little bit better than Holiday or Shamet, and that fits better on their timeline, and they move forward there. But on the Gordon side of this, in terms of what he is as a player, you know, he basically, since Mike D'Antoni got there and he started playing that style, he's been all threes and layups. And it's actually gotten even more stark the past 2 years. He's attacking the basket a little bit more the past two seasons than he even did before, even though he's getting older. He's mostly been pretty efficient, but he's a negative defender. I mean, the numbers have always classified him as a negative defender. I think that's a little bit crazy, personally. I mean, we saw him guarding Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant on switches in two playoff series back-to-back, and he did a pretty darn good job. I think his strength is really valuable. I think he has pretty good length for being a guard. But still, the numbers say he's a negative. I definitely don't classify him as some sort of A-plus guy. He's at best a neutral defender, but he's also going to be 34 soon. So I think if the price gets any higher than what I said, a couple of seconds and some salary filler, not to degrade Holiday or Shamet, but I think at this point, neither one of those guys were really contributors in last year's playoffs. If the price gets any higher than that, I don't think the Suns pursue this. I think they can do better. I think they can get somebody a little bit younger. They're not, in my opinion, especially if they trade Ayton, I just don't see, they would not be treating next season as do or die in quite the same way that this past season was. I just think that's the reality we have to confront. They're not going to go all out. They're not going to treat next season as the end all be all. If we don't win it, that was this season and they didn't make the Gordon trade. So doing it now seems a little bit silly. I want to also note that Wendy did report or mention in his report. I don't know if it was him sort of opining or if it was actually legitimate rumor, but he mentioned that Chris Paul might want his former teammate Gordon around. I don't know. Maybe Chris would push for this. Maybe he does have the sway. I guess neither of those things would surprise me a ton, but I just think Eric Gordon is not, like, if even if I'm Chris Paul and I'm being realistic with myself, this is not a guy who I'm telling James Jones, like, if we go get Eric, we're winning a title. Like, that's not what this is. So at least at this point, I think he helps, but I don't think he should really be thought of as your, like, sixth man. I think he's closer to, you know, what happened, and this probably isn't fully fair, but just generally speaking, you know, he's probably, here's what he's like. He would be like Al Horford coming to Boston, right? You know, can he be, if he's asked to do a little bit less, if he's in a comfortable environment, if he is in a place where his best qualities are maximized, can he come back even at an extended age, even on a little bit of a bloated salary, and make a difference for a team? I think that would be the bet, you know? And Horford's ended up being much more than the sixth man for Boston. So that's the absolute best case scenario. Then you have Otto Porter on the Warriors, just to pick another finals guy, where it's like, he was hurt, he, you know, was limited, but he came in, committed himself, was in a comfortable role, and made a big difference. I think that's sort of what this Gordon thing would be like. Even though he makes a lot of money, I just think we haven't seen him in a good situation on a winning team in a while. He hasn't had to play in the playoffs, things like that, for a while. Like, you can't count on this guy to come in and be this overnight, revolutionize your team and give you the missing piece you need. That's not what this is, but I don't hate it either. If the price is pretty low, like I outlined, I wouldn't be bummed if the Suns pursued it. But time will tell. I think more guys like this, more names will pop up. The Suns will have their pick. They have the salaries to make trades like this. They'll have their pick at what they want to do. It's just a matter of who they choose to go after. All right, guys, that will cover it. That will do it for today. Look, we have one more day for this server thing to come out before the draft. I don't know if it will. I think it should. You know that if you've been listening. We'll have more draft rumors, all of it. Aaron Edwards will be joining Thursday night to recap the whole draft, whether the Suns get a pick or not. So look forward to that as well. Hit subscribe, hit follow wherever you're listening or watching. Thank you for making Locked On Suns your first listen here on this Wednesday. Now, go make the ultimate NBA mock draft your second listen to get ready for Thursday's draft.